StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRate.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany. Today, I do have a very special guest because she's neither an investor nor a startup, but she's the chief economist of German bank KfW. Hello and welcome.
Hi, Jörn. Nice to be here.
Totally my pleasure. You are Dr. Fritzi Köhler-Geib. We'll spell it out for you down here in the show notes for everybody who doesn't speak German. And you are the chief economist of KfW. We may add that KfW is not a usual business bank, but it's a government-owned bank that helps with the economic development and the implementation of federal programs and government programs at all.
Exactly. Yeah, it's state-owned. And its mission is to help transformation in Germany and worldwide, and basically goes back to the time after the Second World War, where the idea was that the German economy is supposed to be based on a market economy, but that you can have areas where you have market failures. And it's this public bank that is helping in those areas of market failure to put incentives so that you see sufficient investment, for example, in areas like prevention of climate change, which is a societal goal. Mm-hmm.
But you are here today because you, as KfW, especially your department, are publishing an index, a private equity barometer, it is called. So it's a VC and PE investor index that we've been quoting quite frequently on our regular news together with Chris. I do believe we did it at least since 2020, but I just realized your index is actually published since 2013, which is pretty awesome. A little bit about you. I found you studied in Paris, University of Michigan at St. Gallen, and Pompeu Fabra in Spain. So you also speak some French, some Spanish?
Oui, monsieur, si, señor.
Muy bien. you later went to work in Washington, D.C. I've seen you worked for World Bank and IMF. So my understanding is you basically lived from 2008 to 2019, mostly in Washington, D.C., because we talked before and you told me you've been quite traveling.
Yes, exactly. So I was based in Washington, D.C., but I was traveling to many places, Pakistan, Ukraine, and then a lot of Latin American countries. And towards the end, I focused on Central America.
Central America. Do you have a secret tip where you can make great vacations?
Panama, Costa Rica, El Salvador, they all are very different. Of course, I'm an economist, and from an economics perspective, all those countries are very different, can learn a lot, and it's fascinating economies, really. Mm-hmm. And but I also have to say, it's beautiful countries.
Mm-hmm. Would never dispute that. Since 2019, you're the chief economist at KfW, and everybody knows I'm a bit football fan. You're still watching games of the Michigan football team, the Wolverines?
Well, I have to admit, yes, I was during my studies in Ann Arbor for 6 months. I'm not such a particular football fan. I do a lot of sports myself, and I am a infrequent watcher of sports. So that also applies to football, I have to say.
I see. Can we go a little bit into the index right now? Because my understanding is it was started back in 2013. Do you know a little bit about the history, why KfW actually started this barometer, this index?
So the index actually started in the first quarter of 2003. So it's even older than that. Let me go back to the part of KfW correcting market failures in Germany. KfW as a bank has a daughter, KfW Capital, and that was created in 2018 to foster the development of the VC market in Germany. Because there is the recognition that the state itself is not the best investor and is not so good in choosing a particular startup, the idea of KfW Capital is that it works as a fund of funds, so that it basically puts public money into the market without choosing particular startups, but by choosing different investment booths, if you wish. And that started in 2018 to develop the market further.
Mm-hmm. I see. And we may get into KfW at another time. We want to stick a little bit with the index. As I said, the earliest version I could find is back in 2013. But nonetheless, I think nobody would like to talk about the past. Can you tell us a little bit about how you get the data from this index? My understanding is that there are two entities, the German VC and PE Association, that participates, as well as the Deutsche Börse Venture Network. Both of them have several hundred investor members, and actually you do a survey with them, right?
Absolutely. So we started out this product with BVK, with the German VC Association. We're surveying around about 450, or BVK is around 200 investors. And later on, we also joined with Deutsche Börse. There is another 450 investors. And we have been surveying these investors now since 80 quarters. So we started to have some time series observations about the German VC market.
Mm-hmm. We may add, for everybody who's not familiar with Germany, Deutsche Börse is the operator of the Frankfurt Stock Exchange, but we're here talking about a network they set up separately to help fund early stage companies with VC and private equity alike. So before we get into the actual index, let's have a little ad break and be back in a few seconds. Okay, now we are back. We'll be mainly talking about the German Venture Capital Barometer, as you call it. The most recent one is the fourth quarter of 2022, which is actually pretty fitting. We are recording this on the 15th of February 2023. And all across the newspapers here in Germany, there have been news that it collapsed. Not too sure if I would use that dramatic fashion, but nonetheless, those newspapers still have to make a living, I'm sure. Before we talk about the current situation, can we talk a little bit about the index and how it is composed? Because my understanding is that there are three main components, and then there are subcomponents like fundraising, entry valuations, exit opportunities, new investments, deal flow quantity, deal flow quality, deal flow innovativeness, taxation framework, write-downs, economy, interest rates, and funding. So I assume if you dish out this survey and somebody has to reply to it, it's nothing you can do in like 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, so we are very thankful for the collaboration with the investors that we basically survey. The index is calculated by asking for an assessment of the current situation in the market. So the environment, no, and then also 6 months ahead expectations. And the climate altogether is then basically a composite index of those two elements. We then also have the components of the indicator that you mentioned that basically give insight into particular aspects of the VC market that obviously are key for investors. And as you had already mentioned, the end of 2022 was rather gloomy in the German VC market. It had appeared as if the downturn had come to a stop in the third quarter, but then in the fourth quarter we did see the index picking up a worsening of the sentiment.
So my understanding is you give them options like from very good to very bad, and the investors evaluate all those points on their scale respectively, and then you aggregate this view of, let's say, somewhere around 400 investors with, I understand, investment interest and or headquarter in Germany, and aggregate all this together to come up with this index that should paint a pretty decent picture of the current mood of the investors at the point the survey was taken.
Yeah, and I would say it's neither a backward nor a forward-looking indicator because it has both components. No, as we ask about expectations, there is certainly a forward-looking perspective, but we also ask investors about the current or their assessment of the current situation, and we show both the responses separately and then also as the climate, no, which puts those indices together. What's also really important is that we put the answers in perspective to the historical mean, and then show how the answers deviate from that mean, and thereby we show how the market in the current situation and the expectations are developing vis-a-vis that historical mean.
I see. And my understanding is because you talked about a forward-looking and current situation. So the business situation right now is what they evaluate as business situation. And the expectation is when you ask them, what do you expect like 6 months down the road, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or what do you expect within the next 6 months? Yes.
I see. There is a lot more information in everything we link here. I'll link the website in English. And as I said, it's from fourth quarter 2022 to the first quarter of 2013. All the data available here. My question would be, how can somebody reading it actually use it, assuming that stating that 80% of my audience is located outside of Germany, Austria, or Switzerland. So many of them don't even have like physical or personal touch points with the market right now. How could those people use this index? How is it useful for them?
Yeah, I think it's extremely useful because it gives the time series of assessments of investors in the German VC market about highly relevant elements, no, and perspectives on the German VC market, be it entry valuations, be it fundraising environment, be it the assessment of quantity and also quality of deal flow. So I think it gives a, in particular for people who are not so familiar with a market, it gives a very quick overview of how main investors in the market assess the market at that point, and also with a 6 month outlook.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about fundraising, because when we talk here on the channel about fundraising, it's usually startups pitching investors. But since you ask investors here, I would assume this fundraising environment is for the VC investors actually pitching their investors, meaning the pension funds, the insurance companies, what is generally referred to as LP, limited partners.
Yes. That's basically how easily they can raise funds for their investment booth.
Mm-hmm. And again, a little bit different logic. If you talk about entry valuations, this one is pretty green, then went up 34.2 points in the one we just have ahead of us. And I would assume it's good for the investors. That mean the entry valuations went a little bit down. So for the entrepreneurs, it should be red, right?
Yeah. So basically, of course, when entry valuations go up, it means for investors that returns potentially go down, while the inverse is true if the valuations go down, which in a way are good, because then you can achieve higher returns on the investment.
Mm-hmm. I see. Let me quickly get back here. So that means also the deal flow quality and quantity, everything is seen from the perspective of the investors. That would also mean, if I look here, the write-downs are pretty red. That would mean the investors replied to had to take more write-downs than previously expected, or they wanted to. Admittedly, yes, I know they now want to take write-downs, but this one appears to be pretty red.
Yeah, and I think it also has to do with the fact that you have a lot of company valuations coming in the fourth quarter. And so I think it's also quite plausible that that the indicators turned unfavorable in the fourth quarter, because it's true. Now, we have been in a difficult economic environment. You see write-downs then come in the fourth quarter, and that then also puts pressure on the sentiment in the VC market.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see. And there are also some bigger indicators, the economy. I would assume that's a question you ask the investors. What do you expect the economy to be in the future or right now?
Yeah, so also both. No, it's basically the economic activity altogether, because clearly it impacts the VC market as well. Of course, then you always have a variety of startups in different sectors that do differently well, but the overall economic environment has a relevant impact on those markets as well.
Mm-hmm. As well as the interest rates, of course, they are right now red because they are going up, which is never good for investors.
Absolutely. And it's also, I think it's irrespective of whether you look at different countries or different asset classes, when you have the reference market, government bonds generating higher returns, this is a very relevant pull factor from all other asset classes. And we've seen the turmoil in public markets last year, and we expect this to translate at some point also into effects in the private markets. No, this usually happens with a certain lag. We also see that now in the beginning of 2023, public stock exchanges, no, valuations, stock valuations have gone up again. So the picture is somewhat mixed. And overall, we do expect that this difficult economic environment, macroeconomically, in terms of real economic activity, but also the environment with increasing interest rates to fight inflation, will translate into a difficult environment for the VC market. There are positive developments, or I think factors that buffer potentially negative impacts on the German market. We had very, very strong fundraising in the past few years, and there is a lot of dry powder in investment funds, VC funds in Germany. So that, I think, will basically help the German VC market, and actually leads me to be slightly on the optimistic side when it comes to the development over the next in the medium term.
Mm-hmm. I see. We're already talking a little bit about the current situation, meaning the last publication. I know I teased you already before the interview a little bit with the forecasts, and I vividly remember the saying, forecasts are always difficult, especially concerning the future. So let's be a little bit here on the current situation, because we found a lot of news just recently that the confidence, they used something like collapsed when referring to your Q4 2022 index. And there you wrote, the business climate indicator for early stage segment nosedived 25.6 points to minus 42.9 balance points, with the expectation of the unprecedented coronavirus shock in the first quarter of 2020. The only recent time sentiment was worse was 20 years ago. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a continuous optimist. I would say, well, we've seen the bottom. Everything points at least a little bit upward. And maybe we've seen the worst. What have been your thoughts when you put this Q4 2022 together? All gloom and doom, or it can only get better from here?
Well, I think that we were ready to think that the downward movement had come to a stop in Q3, to then see that the development was going down further. At the same time, I do think that with public markets becoming more positive at the beginning of 2023, also with the economic outlook cheering up, and then a lot of dry powder in the market, that there is a good chance that we'll see an improvement in sentiment. And we also have to really see that we come out of a very difficult year last year. No, with the war of Russia in Ukraine, we've certainly seen an extreme level of uncertainty. I think the fourth quarter was impacted still by that, by the negative numbers that came in from business accounting, and then also you had the challenge with the cryptocurrencies. I think that really dragged on investor sentiment worldwide. So on top of that, there was a temporary stop to a public support program in Germany, which now has restarted again. But there were a lot of factors that pounded on sentiment in the fourth quarter. So that I think that it's very likely that we see improvement ahead of us.
What you refer to is the so-called Invest Grant that expired, basically giving some public money on early stage investments, early stage business angel investments, and that was basically cut and then restarted early this year. Admittedly, I do have a lot of business angels in my LinkedIn timeline, and they totally don't like the new setup, but that is a completely different topic. I totally understand. You're not responsible for that.
Well, and I think it's important that there is support again, no? And I think it's also a success that the program restarted and that the temporary stop could basically be contained to a very short period of time. I think that was important.
Mm-hmm. I see. When you would now make an outlook, would you say with the public markets going up, there is a chance that the mood improves? And for our audience who doesn't have a finance background, basically the public markets are important because it gives an exit opportunity for the private investors, and meaning the better valuation there on the public markets, the higher the expectation of the investors, they can realize such high multiples on the public market as well, and basically cash in there with an IPO.
Yeah, I think that absolutely is relevant, no, for investors, and that's also what my expectation would be, that we will see. But then again, no, we are in an environment with this extreme uncertainty. We've seen in the index last year how different factors impact on sentiment, no? And after all, we are collecting on purpose a sentiment indicator. So I think it's also fair to expect that in the environment in which we are, which is still characterized by continued high risks, no? That we will see some up and down in the sentiment. However, my expectation would be, in terms of a trend, that we will see an improvement.
Well, if we hit an almost 20-year low, I assume it would be better to be going up. We will totally refer to the news publications of your index every quarter in our news, and always refer to this interview. Thank you very much. It was total pleasure having you here as a guest.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jörn, for the opportunity. It was a pleasure, and I'm happy if the analysis of investors' sentiment in the German market can be helpful for others that are considering this market.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.